Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat with others who have found that God's faithfulness never ends. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hi, friends. Welcome back. It's great having you here today. This past Thursday was the 25th birthday of our son, Bradley. In remembering him, I'm sharing parts of his celebration of life on the podcast. Last week was Bradley's story, my talk from the service. If you haven't heard it, please go back and listen to episode 54 from season 2. Bradley's life was an incredible story about overcoming adversity and darkness to let the love of God shine for all to see. Today, I'm sharing my nephew Austin's talk from Bradley's celebration of life. Austin is a pastor from Baltimore, Maryland, and was very close to our son Bradley. Austin's talk immediately followed my talk at the service. We will wrap up the podcast today with Bradley's dad, brother, and sister-in-law singing "Go Rest High on That Mountain." Never has that song fit anyone's life better than Bradley's. Thanks for listening in. Here's Austin.
It's a hard one to follow. My name's Austin. I am I'm Bradley's cousin. I'm a minister in Baltimore, and I love my cousin. And I wanted to just flesh out for a few minutes the fact that Jesus does want the unwanted. Amen. He loves you today. I don't know where you feel like you are. I don't know what your opinion is about Christ. I don't know what your belief system is. I don't know what kind of faith you may follow, but I just wanted to spend a second in the scripture. I'm going to look in Luke chapter 17. If you have your Bible, you can turn there, and I want you to see that this Jesus wants the unwanted. There's basically this story of 10 people who had leprosy, and Jesus actually heals all of them. Miraculously, by just telling them to walk to the temple, and as they walk, they are healed. And then one of these men come back to Jesus and falls at his feet, and Jesus says, "There were 10 of you, weren't there? Where are the other 9?" And the one said, the one comes back, and he falls at the feet of Jesus in faith, and Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has," he actually uses the word in the Greek, "your faith has saved you." And in the faith of Jesus Christ, this one who wants the unwanted, and he will go to the Ukraine to get them. He wants you today. And I wanted to look at this a little bit, and I wanted to talk a little bit about faith alone. At our church, we've kind of been studying faith, looking at the life of someone early in the Bible named Abram. And we've been talking about how there's a difference between opinion, belief, and saving faith. Early on, if you don't know the story of Abram, God just appeared to him. God wanted him. And God appeared to him and sent him to start a new adventure, to start a ministry, to start a nation, actually. And he followed him, and he worshiped God. He began to believe in God. And Genesis 15:16 about Abram, it says that God saw his faith and counted it as righteousness, that he was right before God in a new relationship. And that's what faith in Jesus Christ is all about. Believing God, not just believing, but worshiping Jesus Christ, knowing him, and being saved. Bradley was a great guy. I love him. His laugh. He is the most unique guy I think I've ever met. Definitely related to. I love Bradley. He was my ring bearer at my wedding. My wife is right here. And after the wedding, he said, you know, that's the funnest wedding I've ever been to. And I want to say today, Mr. Brad, this is the funnest funeral I've ever been to. So let's continue to just enjoy ourselves, celebrate in the midst of tears and pain, because we know we have something worth celebrating. And I just want to take us to the scripture real quick here. It's talking about Jesus in verse 11, Luke 17. It says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled." I want you to know today that the thing that the Bible teaches, the thing that the faith is that we have a traveling God. We have a God that pursues us. We have a God that comes after us. We have a God that wants us. We have a God that makes his way. And here in verse 11, he's making his way to Jerusalem, but he's not just on some kind of trip for the trip's sake, but he is going to Jerusalem to actually die on the cross, to suffer the pain for our sin, to take the punishment that we deserve on the cross. The Bible teaches that the wrath of God, the punishment that we deserve, hell itself was put on Jesus and Jesus alone on the cross. That's where Jesus is traveling because he wants the unwanted. And so he traveled. I think of Bradley's travel. God bless him, traveling hundreds of miles. I only place I travel is to the refrigerator and to get the remote every now and then. Amen. I respect somebody that travels, and we have a God that travels. He comes to us. This is what Emmanuel means. It means that God didn't just stay at his throne, but he put on flesh. And he came in Jesus Christ because he wanted the unwanted. A couple years ago, almost to the week, Bradley came and he visited me in Baltimore. I was rather discouraged. If you can imagine, ministry in Baltimore City is a little challenging. And Brad came and he brought his laugh with him, and he brought his incredibly coffee. Have you ever had coffee? I let Brad make coffee. I mean, it was mostly grain. It was very dark, very thick. And I said, man, this is a special guy. And I didn't know the adult Brad too well. And he came there a couple years ago, and he encouraged me in the midst of hard times. He traveled for Jesus. He shadowed me and helped me with ministry for more than a week. He encouraged me. He talked to young people. He talked to people struggling. And God used him to travel. And I love it because Jesus traveled. God is a God that travels, and he's traveled here to meet with you today. He's here to minister to the broken heart, but he's also here to save somebody from an eternal broken heart. It says that he was on his way to Jerusalem to the cross. Jesus traveled, and he took the long way, amen. Look at what it says. He went between the border of Samaria and Galilee. He was going into a village, and 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance. You notice this is a struggle to be human. It's a struggle. It's a broken world. This is a hard day. This is a hard world. The Bible explains partly the kind of days that we have today is because that we live in a broken world, and the world has been broken because of sin, generational sin, my sin, your sin, Brad's sin. I love Brad. I want you to know today, Brad had a sin problem, just like you and I. And the Bible actually teaches that we have such a sin problem that we all are at a great distance from Jesus. We're a great distance away from God. And so we need the God of the universe to come to us, to travel to us, to be with us. And that's exactly what Jesus does here. He comes to this place where these people were thought of to be cursed. They had leprosy. This was to say that they had some mysterious, significant skin disease. They would have probably been pushed out of the city, maybe lived in a huge ditch. They were not allowed to talk to anybody. If anyone ever got close to them, they were supposed to yell, "Hey, get away, keep your distance, I'm unclean." So Jesus made his way to them. Let me say it again, family. He wants the unwanted. He died for the unwanted. He died for the dirty. He died for the sinner. He died for you. He died for me. He travels, and he's traveling to you today. He wants you to know that he loves you, that he's willing to make his way to you. It says in Luke 5, chapter 31, I'm sorry, chapter 5, verse 31, verse 32, Jesus said this about his ministry: "Those who are well have no need of a physician." Anybody in here think you got it all together? And that you're going to make it on your own to heaven, whatever happens at death? Well, hey, I'll be pretty good. I've been a pretty good person. Why would God need to get in flesh to get here to save you? He says, I didn't come for those who are well and need not a physician, but to those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I love my cousin Bradley. One thing that he always wanted to do, I once served at a camp, and I started telling all these pirate stories. It was Camp McCall. That might mean something to somebody, but Brad always begged me to tell these pirate stories. And I would tell these pirate stories, and it would make his parents a little uneasy because they were a little gritty and they were a little adventurous. But I had this ministry of telling pirate stories because I would share them with young men, and I would take them to Romans 3, where it talks about all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. We all track blood, Romans 3 says. We all have a drastic need for salvation. We're all sinners, and we know that we need salvation. And here is Jesus. They had an opinion about Jesus. Look at verse 13. They called out in a loud voice. They said, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Have pity on us." Their opinion was that Jesus was a master. I can't read their mind. I don't know exactly, but they thought, hear me today, they thought Jesus could help them. And they said, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Help us." They wanted to be healed of their leprosy. And they thought Jesus could do something about it. He thought that Jesus could do something about how they are outcasted, how they could actually never go to church, never go to the temple, never see their family again. "Jesus, have pity on us. Have mercy. Have mercy on us." I remember Brad sharing his opinion sometime. He was a unique guy. And an opinion is something everyone has. And you can argue about it. I didn't believe one opinion Brad had. It was sometime a little less than 2 years ago. I believe it was in March. And he called me, and I was oblivious to stuff going on in the news. And he said, "Austin, you know, this coronavirus is going to be a big deal." And I said, "Brad, this is all going to blow over. This is nothing." And he began begging me or encouraging me, "Maybe you should leave Baltimore and go link up with your dad in the woods and live, because something bad's stirring." That's like, "That's just your opinion, Brad. I'm not buying into it." Well, he was kind of right, wasn't he? Do you just have an opinion about God? Do you just have an opinion about God that somebody else can just strike down and say, "Hey, I have an opinion about God too. He's not real." These guys probably had an opinion about Jesus. Maybe, I think, possibly Jesus can help me. That's what they're coming with here, probably. Jesus is some kind of mastery, some kind of leader. Could something today change your opinion about Christ? Could you see him more than just a maybe today? I think we're always up here kind of looking to change opinions. Look at what Jesus does to change their opinion. In verse 14, he says, he saw them. Isn't that beautiful? They're forgotten people. He wants the unwanted. He saw them, and he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And then listen to this. They went. Their opinion turned to a belief, maybe we could say. And they took a step of belief. They took a step of faith, and they started moving toward the priest. The priest was almost like the local official that would declare that they no longer had this skin disease. So they started walking, and it says that they were cleansed. As they started walking, can you imagine? Leprosy was bad. It was untreated. We have treatment for it today, but this was a terrible disease where people would lose parts of their body that would just ravage the body. People would be outcasted because of how contagious it might be. But Jesus went there anyway, and he healed them as they started walking and believing what he said. And then this is where it gets interesting. One of them, verse 15, there were 10 of them, right? You remember that. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. I think that's what got me to this text, thinking about Brad today. Amen. Praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And the text says he was a Samaritan, which means that he was outcasted, unwanted, but Jesus wanted him. Amen. And Jesus wants you today. But can you see these four things? He saw healing. Raise your hand if you believe that God's ever done something to you, done something for you, maybe healed you. Raise your hand. You can say, God has answered a prayer before in my life. God has done something. I believe that there could be a God because I've seen him do something. I've seen him answer prayer. I've seen him heal a heart. We've seen this crazy family up here preaching at you, and they should be weeping. We've seen something. We've seen God do something. That's the first thing. This one out of the 10, he saw that he was healed. And listen to what he did to Jesus. He came back. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus will pursue you. Jesus will travel to get to you. But he's asking you to turn around and come back. He's asking you to repent. He's asking you to turn from your sins. He's asking you to come back and find him valuable. This is what saving faith is. You see the healing. You come back. And it says with a loud voice, a Bradley voice, we'll say, right? He praised God in a loud voice. That's what Bradley's doing now. I think he's been there for days. He'll be there for years, being as loud as he wants. Nobody will stop him. He'll be loud. He'll shout at the feet of Jesus. And I'm going to join him one day, amen? It could be tomorrow. It could be 80 years from now. I might get to 120, I don't know. Look at that. He saw his healing. He came back to Jesus. He praised God. And he threw himself at the feet of Jesus. That's the gesture of worship. Surrender. Submission. That's what saving faith is. It's not just an opinion. I think God might be really, might be something to this Jesus thing. It's more than just believing. It's more than just taking like a blind step of faith. But it's knowing without a shadow of a doubt. God has showed me himself in an undeniable way. And I have nowhere else to go except the feet of Jesus. Could you be there today? Could you be experiencing saving faith like we believe Bradley has? Look at what Jesus says about the faith of this guy. He says, hey, weren't there 10 people here? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner that nobody wants? Jesus says, I want him. Look at what he says to him. Verse 19, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Bradley had an injury Wednesday that he could not recover from. But Jesus says, I'm here to raise you up. The Bible teaches that if we are absent in the body, we are present with the Lord. And that's how we begin to talk about Bradley being with the Lord right now. But the Bible also talks about a great resurrection day where he'll heal everybody. He'll resurrect everybody, and he will make everything whole. But he tells this one out of ten, he says, your faith has made you well. And this is actually a different Greek word than the Greek word earlier. This is the Greek word that's used when it talks about people being saved, people being made whole, people being made well. Let me ask you a question today as we close. Has your faith in Jesus made you well? Not just an opinion, not just blind faith, but you are convinced you've been healed by Jesus. You've came back to Jesus. You've repented. You fell at the feet of Jesus because you know there's nowhere else to go. You're praising God with a loud voice. Maybe today's the day for you to be saved, for you to be made whole today. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a moment, we think about Brad's loud, beautiful voice. We think about his faith. We think about the good times with Brad. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder today if you would say, you know what, my opinion of the Lord has changed. I don't know it all. I don't have it all figured out. But I know a little bit about maybe the way Brad lived, or I've just heard something. Maybe just God is moving something to me, and I want to take not just a step of faith, but I want to run to the feet of Jesus today and be made whole and be made full. Maybe today that's for you. Maybe today, for the first time, you want to give your life to Jesus. You want to go to Jesus. You want to turn back to Jesus. And you want to take that walk to him and put yourself at his feet. Put yourself before Jesus, the one that travels, the one that traveled to Jerusalem, died on the cross so that you wouldn't have to face death a second time for eternity. He's made a way of salvation. Maybe today, every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe someone in here would lift their hand and say, hey, that's me today. Just lift your hand right now and say, hey, that's me. I need the salvation of Jesus. Is there anyone here for the first time? I see that hand. Is there another hand that would say, for the first time, I want to trust Jesus as Lord. I want the healing that only he offers. Is there anyone that would else lift their hand and say, that's me? We're making an opportunity for you right now to even come down here and pray. Maybe your heart's just broken and you want to pray. You want to ask the Lord to do a new thing in your life, and you want to come down to this stage, to this place of prayer. Would you come today? We're going to play some music for just a while. And today, if you feel that you need to trust Jesus as Lord for the first time, you can pray. The Bible says that if you cry out to the Lord, you will be saved. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart that Christ was risen from the dead, because that's truly our victory today as we pray. That we have never had a full funeral for Jesus because he rose from the dead. Every other world leader, every other religious leader, there was a funeral, there is a tomb. But for Jesus, there is no funeral, there is no tomb. He rose from the dead, never to die again. And today, we can trust that God. So maybe today, you want to make this decision, and you can cry out to the Lord, and you can say, Lord, I'm much like Bradley, I'm much like these 10 lepers. I need healing. I need to be made full. I need salvation. So, Lord, would you save me today? Lord, I come to you. I throw myself at your feet. I believe in your resurrection. I turn from my sin to trust you fully. You can pray, God, would you save me? God, would you heal me like only you can? Father, we thank you today for your love. God, we thank you today that we can rejoice through tears. God, we thank you today that you are saving. God, that you are rescuing. God, that you are healing. God, that you are doing what only you can do. God, we thank you for Brad's testimony. God, we thank you today, Lord, that you want the unwanted. And you go to get us. You go to get us, to give us rest, to give us eternal life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for hearing the word of God today, as we've read from the scripture. We have a few pastors around. I'm going to say today, if you didn't feel like coming, we really believed that Brad would have us do an invitation, a little different for a funeral, but we really believe that he wants you, all of his friends, all of the people that love him, that know him, that know his family, we really believe that he wants you to be like the one and not like the nine. Because we all raised our head, hey, God's done something in my life that I can't deny. Most of us did. But I know if Brad was here today, he would say, be the one. Be the one that comes back. Find saving faith that makes you whole. Throw yourself at Jesus. Give all you can for Jesus, because Jesus has given everything for us. And we have a few pastors. I know the pastor here at this church. Thank you so much, Pastor Jamie, for letting us have this funeral. Just stand up real quick. We want you to come talk to this man if you've made a decision to trust Christ tonight. And I see Brother Buckshot over here. Any other pastors in the room, will you stand up, Buckshot? We just want to point him out here tonight. Anybody else? Jonah's here. And I'm here. We'd love to talk to you after the service, especially if you raised your hand. We'd love to know what God is doing in your life. Well, we're going to continue to worship and thank God for what he's done. He's the God that saves. Amen, family. He's the God that wants the unwanted.
I know your life on earth was trouble, and only you for the Father. Son, your work on earth is done. Go to heaven, shout. Love for the Father and the Son.
Everybody in the family's been in this except Bradley. And you know he ain't having that. So we're going to go out singing Victory in Jesus, Bradley style. And his life was chopped off short. Last sentence we don't have, so we need y'all to help us. Here goes Bradley. He's going to lead y'all. He wants to see y'all in glory. I'm praying for you. Here's Bradley. Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. Subscribe or follow to make sure you don't miss a single episode. See you here next time.